Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to the first episode of Loving with Autism. My name is Kate Longazal, and I am your host for today's episode, which is going to deal with relationships and social interaction. Today we have three neurotypical people on the panel, as well as myself, sharing my experiences with relationships, friendships, and all that goes into having a relationship and a friendship, which can be a whole lot or a whole little, I guess, depending on your friends. So I guess we should start by introducing who we have with us today. We have Rebecca.
Hi, everybody.
Mike is with us.
Hi there.
And Corey.
Hello.
Should we talk a little bit about with us and what they do, I guess? Yeah, sure. Or like, you know, their different relationships with how they make friendships and some things I think about when you hear the word friendship and what that means. I know for myself, friendship has changed so much just starting out in life. Like I'm a babysitter, so I see friendship from, you know, two-year-old standpoints with play dates, and in my own life now that I'm, you know, heading toward 30, oh gosh, this is on a podcast, I said 30, how my friendships have taken different forms. And what I really value in friends has kind of like thinned the herd a little bit than when I was younger. Would you say so in your own experience, guys?
I think so, definitely. Like, yeah. I know that I've had two best friends. We've been friends since we were in first grade, and I'm past 30, so that's a long time. But as you get, you know, older, you make different kinds of friends. Like, you make friends through work, through school, and it's not necessarily like meeting on the playground and bonding and then your lifelong friend. So I think as you get older, friendship, the process of making a friend changes, the setting changes, and but in the end, it's still your friend. You're still there for each other and you care for each other. So that really doesn't change.
Totally. And just like you said, where you find friends now, I feel like has changed so much more. Just like, you know, work friends, I guess, or relationships that you have with people at the workplace are different than maybe those friends that you've had, you know, that are more like sibling relationships almost because you've had them for so long. And you've had friends when you were younger, like even like high school friends. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
No.
But, you know, there's a difference in the way that in the place that you hold these friends close to you and how you you communicate with them and interact with them and what you demand from them. I know I'm getting married and I'm like my bridesmaids. I feel like I've demanded so much from, you know, who do you feel comfortable asking that much of?
Demanded that much of us. I'm one of Katie's bridesmaids.
That's cute.
A bridesman, I suppose.
A bridesman.
Or, you know, whatever. You can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me a bad time.
Right. Labels aren't important. Definitely not a bad time.
I'll chime in, too. And, Rebecca, I love that you said that you're, you know, your closest friends you've known for, you know, your entire life almost.
Right.
I think it's unique. I think Katie and I share that in common with you. Katie and I have known each other for, you know, not since we were 1-2 years old, but for a good 10, 11 years now. I know that, Katie, your inner circle is largely comprised of people that you've known since
forever.
High school, since middle school.
Yes.
You know, 10, 20 years now. And it's the same for me. You know, I am my best friend. I've known her since I was 11. Some of my, you know, closest friends I've had and kept. And we fostered a relationship since, you know, we were, before I could, you know, really think and before certainly I was self-actualized as a person, you know, as an adult. And so they've seen me, you know, not naked in the in the literal sense, but really, like, they've seen every piece of me. So I think that that's kind of a unique scenario, and it kind of gives me a barometer for what I'm looking for in newer relationships and newer mm-hmm. friendships. You know,
totally.
I'm sort of fulfilled in that respect. And so what I'm looking for or what I would need from a newer friend is completely different because of that.
Exactly. It's so interesting because it what you think of, like the things that make someone a good friend now, as opposed to, you know, when I was younger, or even like you said, going into the future, the things that you're going to need change. And I think that, that, you know, what I used to think made someone a good friend to me is different now than it was when I was younger. What are the things that you think now, this is a good question for everybody. What do you think makes someone a good friend? What are those like qualities that you think that they should have?
I'll chime in definitely on this one. The first thing that comes to mind is accountability. For me to consider you a true friend, I need to know that you, when you say you'll do something, you'll follow through.
Wow, that's a good point. Totally.
You need to be able to trust that person that they'll come through for you.
Oh,
and
trust.
Yeah, and they need to be able to trust that when you say something, they're not going to keep on trying to follow up with you every single time. They'll know that you'll do the same things for them.
Wow, that's totally true. I agree with that completely.
Well, I agree with that.
And honesty. I think that a lot of the time, I can tell the reason I have had, you know, my closest friends, my inner circle, like Corey was saying, and Rebecca, like you were saying, that you've had friends, you know, forever, like as far back as you can imagine. Those are the people that you keep close to you. Because I think that Corey would honestly tell me if something I'm doing bothered him, or if something was like, let's say I was wearing something completely ridiculous, he would say, hey, listen, I know this from like experience. He would be the one that was like, you know what, maybe we don't wear that ever again. But honesty is so important, I think, and totally accountability and trust. And I think loyalty is something that Rebecca has found in friendships, and Corey as well. Like the fact that you have this longevity to the relationship, even though it can be, I'm sure it hasn't been smooth sailing through every experience that you've had with your friends. I mean, I know that I have so many moments where I've fought like brother and sister, or I mean, fought is the wrong word, but sometimes the right word.
Well, you love as hard as you fight, right?
Exactly, totally.
And when you love someone so much and, you know, they have seen your entire person, mm-hmm. you can cut deep.
Totally and completely.
You almost like to cut deep because you know you can go there.
Right.
Really push them.
You know you can. Exactly.
And I also think, too, like being able to laugh at yourself. For me, what is really important with friends is sense of humor, sarcasm, being real and down to earth. I mean, my friends and I, we just are constantly cutting each other down in a loving, affectionate, I'm here for you way. I mean, when I walk into a room and I see them for the first time in a couple weeks, it's like I know that I'm going to get a 5 to 10 minute barrage of just negative comments about my
experience.
Yeah. And you love
but
it.
It's like all love. It's all love.
Totally.
The line is blurred in that respect, right?
Exactly.
You can go kind of far.
Exactly.
It's so interesting
also,
that we all find
that. I like
that.
What you guys were talking about, you know, loyalty, honesty. And Katie, you know, you mentioned honesty and the fact that, you know, it's sometimes you have to have those tough conversations. Mm-hmm. But that is probably one of the hallmarks of a great friendship, is being able to have, you know, a difficult conversation, not just obviously about what, maybe I don't like your outfit, but also it could be, you know, something, you know, a harder conversation about a personality trait, maybe your friend, your best friend is dating somebody that you don't love, and you have to kind of make that decision, you know,
is it
worth it
yes.
to potentially sort of disrupt the course of our friendship, to be honest, and you have to kind of make those calls often.
Wow, so true.
And to jump off of that for a second, when you make those calls, the true hallmark of a good friend is them being able to accept that this is coming from a loving place. Because I've had those conversations myself, and yeah, like you were just saying, we do bicker. I have the same thing with my close group of friends, we are all roommates in college, and we go back and forth with each other like angry little older brothers. But at the same time, I know if I ever needed one of them to actually tell me the truth, no BS, no filter, they come through for me, and I do the same for them.
Totally.
It's such a good point. And one of the things that I've learned, especially now, I'm also about to nosedive into my 30s. And one of the most important things I've learned, especially in terms of friendship, but also just in terms of interpersonal communication, is to assume positive intent. Right? Because if you automatically assume that this person doesn't have positive intent, you're setting yourself up for a difficult conversation. Right?
Right. Oh. Completely.
Yes.
I think that also comes with age sometimes. Like, with age comes wisdom, but also I think sometimes as you get older, you've been burned a little bit more. And so you might have a little bit of a wall up. I'm saying the word you, but
totally.
meaning me. I might have a little bit of a wall up. I've noticed just like, you know, the things that I do now that I'm finding easier to make friends is because I'm trying to let that wall come down a little bit more, if that makes any sense. And I think my older,
100,000%.
Yeah, I think with age, I'm like, I put the wall up to protect myself. And now I think the wall is coming down because I'm realizing that it's so much more fun to have shared experiences and commiserate with people than it is to just like, you know, be a agoraphobic in my house all day alone by myself, which I have trouble like letting people in. But now I'm realizing that, you know, I want everybody to be let in.
I got a question then. Do you think that might come from us all being in like the New York City area where you have to have that sort of tough wall?
Oh yeah, completely. Definitely. And then the kind of career, I'm an actress. So the career that I'm in, it's, you already know that people are going to say, or you have been told no so many times by people that you kind of like already hear the no before they even start speaking. Which is kind of just like a hard thing to get past. Do you think it's easier now to make friends when you're older, or do you think it was easier when you were younger on the playground?
I mean, when you're younger, we don't have any judgment in our head, right? So we're not thinking things like, oh, would I want to be friends with them? Would they want to be friends with me? Do other people like them? It just kind of happens naturally. Like, oh, you like the color yellow? I like the color yellow too. Let's be friends. Like, that's how easy it is.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, like, when you're older, I think you just have to, like, find someone who almost has a similar reaction to things going on. So I just thinking of a story when I was a teacher. I was sitting at a faculty meeting, and you know, in my mind, I'm always like staring at people and rolling my eyes internally, like, oh gosh, look at her, oh geez, look at him. Like, so I sat down next to someone who I caught her kind of looking at me and rolling her eyes at someone. I thought, oh, we both are like this. Like, that's how we became friends.
Wow.
Like, but it just kind of, I think your outlook and your opinion and almost like your belief system comes into play when you're older. Like, am I a happy person and do I like to be around other happy, positive people? Or am I like the glass is half empty kind of person and I like to be around those kind of people?
Mm.
I think you kind of almost like you match yourself up with someone who is going to go about the day and sit on the subway and kind of have the same whole philosophy and opinion that you would,
right?
As if that makes sense.
No, I completely agree. I find that I'm trying to similarly make friends, but also like search for friends that I hope to be a little bit more. Like my friends, the group that I'm hanging out with now seems to be like, they have got a couple years on me and they're doing things that like I'm scared to do. So I'm seeing them succeed and fail. And
they push you.
And they push me. You. Exactly. Yep. To be and to have what I want. And kind of maybe because I've surrounded myself with friends that I'm so similar to all my life, I'm trying to like do the opposite maybe because I know I need that. I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
You're throwing yourself out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier making friends now? Or harder since you've gotten older, Mike?
I think.
To put you on the spot.
I think to a degree it stayed the same, but what I'm trying to focus on really is strengthening the relationships and the friendships that I've had, because I feel like that is honestly a little more difficult, because you might get into that sort of weird routine where you might go to the same places, talk about the same things. But as we get older, you're going to need different things from these people. You might need that person to lean on and talk about like your relationships and talk about your fears like that you might have at work. And if this person is a good friend but more of just a drinking buddy, that's not necessarily the kind of friendship you need. So I would really want to focus. I really focus now on making that better connection.
Totally.
It's quality control.
Yeah, it's quality control.
Yeah. I was looking through my phone maybe 1 or 2 days ago, and there definitely has been some quality control. Make use like 20 numbers out of a couple of hundred.
Yeah.
And it's because of that, you know, that some of these people, they're all fine and good, but they might not be able to lean on them and they're just there.
I think it's a complete, I feel like we're all in such like similar but different, you know, phases of our own personal journeys. Yeah. And I think that I went through a very similar time, that you're going through now, Mike. Just like, not to keep talking about I'm getting married, but it's like it's like my whole life right now, which I'm trying really hard not to make it, but everyone around you makes it that way too. But just looking at like who to invite and who to include and who do I want there on our special day and who does he want there, you kind of have to do that quality control list of like, yeah, I've said for my whole life that this person's my best friend and I love, you know, I love them so much, but then it's like, okay, well then when's the last time you spoke to this person, or when's the last time they had your back in the way that you've had theirs, you know, previously. And I just have a story of like someone I met maybe 2 years ago. We're very new friends, and I've just become so close to her because she, I don't know. She just comes through for me. And I at first I was like, why is she so nice? I can't be around nice people like her. Like, I'm not one of them. And she just has included me in things and treated me so kindly and welcomed me with open arms into different business things that she has going on, and has seen like talent and potential in me. And I'm blown away by her generosity and can only like hope to be there for her and support her in the same way. But, you know, I can't imagine not having her friendship in my life, even though it's only been, you know, a very brief time that we've been friends. I'm sure our friendship will be tested and have to grow and develop more, but she was there for me in a time that, like, I really needed someone to be. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, sometimes it happens that easily. Just, you know, it's the right moment at the right time. You know, you're both happen to just be there, and you're like, whoa, here's a click. And that sometimes it's just that easy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think there's also... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I was saying, I was talking with one of my close friends, and she was talking about her relationships and her friendships, and she's had that same sort of thinking about it, where when I have this cliff, it is such a great thing, and I'm not going to settle for anything less when I'm looking into my relationships and everything.
Wow. And then other relationships come on kind of like a slow burn. I mean, I know that I've just going through everything this past year and trying to, like, you know, suss out who I want to keep around me and who I want to be around me in, like, you know, big moments in my life. And I found that there are people from, like, throwback people, you know, like Throwback Thursday people that, like, I kind of discounted because I lost touch with them in college, and they were like, you know, middle school or childhood friends that have kind of, like, through Facebook and through other social media have kind of come out of the woodwork and shown me that they're there for me. And those are, like, a surprise as well, because you know them, but you don't really know them.
It's a good point, Katie. And actually, I was going to say, you know, there are certain friends that sort of transcend friendship, right? And who, you know, you don't have to be in constant communication because the foundation is there, right? So you don't necessarily need to have that person in your day-to-day life in order for them to have either had an impact or, you know, have involvement in a way that maybe the people that are constantly around you have, right? There's sort of different degrees and variables at play depending on sort of the level of the relationship that you have with people. And certainly, I think that those that were and have been around you or you've known since childhood, it's easier to lump those kinds of friends into that category, right? Where you don't necessarily have to have them in your immediate vicinity, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a week to still have a strong connection. It's almost like family, right?
Totally. It's totally true. Yeah. I just got together a couple weeks ago with, like, maybe like 10 people from high school, and some of us saw each other a month ago, but some of us haven't seen each other in 15 years. Wow. And it was like as if we were sitting in the cafeteria. It was like nothing changed. It was, you know, nothing was different.
It's there.
We're all the same. It's just there. Right.
Exactly.
Easy, very easy.
That's too funny. I feel like it's so interesting because I feel like the only, like, when I think about friends and throwback friends, I would have to say the only difference is now I have, in my adult life, I have more female friends, I think, than I do, like, in my younger life, I was, like, running with the guys, I think, a little bit more. I played basketball and soccer and softball, and I think that it was, like, okay to have guy friends if you were a tomboy. And now I'm like, you know, I'm engaged. I'm, you know, looking to have a family and all these things. And all I want to do is surround myself with, like, strong, powerful women that can, like, show me the light.
Like, yeah. Right. That's true.
I would say that's another big thing.
I've had to say that the same experience, Katie, but opposite. So I grew up gravitating toward, you know, women, toward girls. I felt, you know, that there was something so much safer about my relationships with females, right? Mm-hmm. Than with males. And now, as I, you know, grow up and I'm maturing, I find myself sort of now attempting to not fill the void, but kind of nurture relationships with other guys.
Totally. Completely. And I think that it's also like a self-awareness thing that, like, once we're aware of something in ourselves, we like seek that out, you know, that not missing thing, but, you know, something that I guess we need more of, that we don't have enough of, I guess. I don't know.
Right. You have to fill the void, fill the hole, you know?
It's funny because I grew up with equal number of girlfriends and guy friends. You know, we always kind of hung out together in a guy girl group.
Wanted a guy girl group my whole life.
Right. And some people dated and some people didn't, but we always stayed friends even to this day. And I never ever second guess the idea of, you know, well, females and female friendships and male and female friendships, they're the same, a little bit different, but everything's the same. And then something happened. This might not be like the popular answer, but it's honest. It's maybe like 10 years ago. I started having a few male friends who were married, sometimes married to friends of mine, sometimes married to girls that I didn't know too well, but they kind of admitted, like, oh my gosh, I always, you know, wanted something more with you, and it kind of really freaked me out. Like, I was like,
totally,
we're just friends, you know?
Yeah.
And it put a little thought in the back of my head, wow, it's like, I understand not every guy would think that way about his friends who are females, but
the dynamics kind of changed, though. Yeah. I think so, too. And I think that there are some, like, even I had an experience, oh, man, with a girl, you know, who I was, this was, like, one of my first really close girl friends. And I had, like, had my guy pack, and I was, like, safe there because I didn't have to be girly. It was okay that I wasn't good at, you know, using the curling iron and everything. Oh, my God, I sound like a dog on the radio. I look okay, all right? I've pulled it together. But, you know, I think she got an impression of me because we are who we surround ourselves with sometimes, you know, the reputation that
it's such a good point, Katie.
Totally. Like, you know, people kind of like judge you about who you surround yourself with. And like someone brought up judgment. I think Mike brought up judgment earlier, or, you know, like, or Rebecca, you were saying that, you know, something I don't quite remember, but I know you brought it up. But I think we have our judgments about other people and who they surround themselves with. And I think she got the impression that I was, you know, just one of the guys. And so it is. It's like you have to know when it's a friendship and when it's, you know, something different, and or the potential to be something different. And sometimes two friends are on the same page with that, and they do want more. And sometimes, you know, not so much. And that's, you know, does the friendship survive that? I don't know. Mine didn't, but
there's also something I think to be said about, you know, friends oftentimes are a reflection and almost even a manifestation of what you are and what you're looking for. And in that circumstance, you know, it happened to be that maybe, you know, one of you was looking for something different.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And I think if it's a true friend, it will withstand it, you know, okay?
For sure.
Right. It'll just go along and that, you know, slide it under the rug.
Right. Totally. Okay. There's a good prompt here. It says, what barriers and difficulties can there be to a male and female friendship? I think we've kind of answered that one.
Barreled right through that one.
Yeah. Has anybody had like a very successful friendship with a member of the opposite sex that hasn't had those kind of challenges and has stood the test of time?
I have two really good guy friends from high school, and it's withstood this test of time, and I'm as excited to see them as I am to see my, you know, good girlfriends, and it's very easy and comfortable, and I know if there's ever anything I needed, they would be there.
That's so good. I found that too. I think, I mean, I don't have any really close guy friends anymore. I think I have one left from my old pack that is still solid. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking about you. That is still solid, but I think that like everyone squeezed me. Sorry, Cor. Oh my gosh, this is why I don't have good friendships. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think that friendships are kind of like, I know that people talk a lot about finding that one soulmate, and I think this might be something for like another episode. But you know, I sometimes feel like I need, you know, different people to fill my soul. And I don't know if I just have like, you know, a need for a lot of people, but I think to expect, you know, one person to have everything for you at all times is kind of like, could be a little too much to ask from one person, because I know that I go to certain friends for certain things and other friends for other things. And yeah, I think that the pack that we surround ourselves with and the friendships that we built, I don't even know where I'm going with that.
Well, I can jump in on that part because I completely agree. I was thinking about my time during college where I did have that a group of female friends where I would come to them for specific things if I wanted just like that sort of shoulder to lean on. There was one person. If I wanted someone who would just help me sit down and plan out whatever I needed to do, and it could be something as simple as doing a project or how to get out of town for a little bit, she would work with me. And it does make sense that I say that you need these different people because we're complex. We're not always going to want the same thing every day. And so to have those different groups, it's so important.
Diversity is the spice of life.
Totally and completely. Right? Diversity is the spice of life.
That last 20 sentences in like 3 words. You're really good.
Okay, so I think we're just about done with our first episode. I think we did it, guys. Does anyone else have anything to say before I wrap us up? I'm so appreciative to everybody for sharing their friendship experiences and the different ways to form friends and have friends and keep them and make them. And I know that friendship can be equally rewarding and complicated, but though there are ups and downs and a lot of awkward moments at times, as we've talked about, you know, the changing of friendships, but your friends are your family that you get to choose. So you better choose wisely. We hope that our conversation today can help you get an idea of when friendship is and how to make some friends. Make sure you follow Unipi on social media and be sure to sign up at unipi.com, and we'll come at you with some more episodes. Don't be shy to tell us what you want to hear about. In closing, I just want to thank Mike Jude. He's on our panel today, but also our producer and content writer. I'm Katie Longazelle. And Rebecca, thank you so much. Corey, thank you. And to our CEO, Thomas Scheel, for coming up with this and putting this together with Mike. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.